So welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Kingdom Artists Unveiled. Today we have with us AJ Dungan of Rochester, New York. And AJ is a very accomplished painter and has done numerous shows, solo and group. His artwork has been a inspiration and just a joy for me to watch through the years. So thanks, Tony, for being with us today.
Hey, no problem. Enjoy the conversation. It's good to reconnect. I appreciate the last time you stopped by and give you a full rundown of my art in person.
Yeah, that's always great too. That's even better. But today we want to dig in a little bit to, I feel like you've really honed some really good techniques. You're coming up with some art that's unique and really powerful. And I'd just like to dig in with you today, kind of where that's coming from, where you get your ideas, how that creativity happens, and just how your relationship with the Lord kind of influences that. First, I want to give a little plug. You can view AJ's work at his website, AJ Dungan, that's DUNGAN.com. You can check him out on Instagram, AJ_Dungan_art. And I'm going to read a little quote from your website here, and then we're going to dig into some questions.
That's
AJ, you say my art is the balance between painting and design, the language and overlap between neutral and color, the love and reality of the human figure and abstraction, the creation of something new with no discernible ability to see how it was created, the love of spontaneity and freedom, the ability to add and subtract, to bring to life and edit, the fun in looking and finding something new with every viewing, the need for process that instinctively blends and harmonizes the figure with the ground, and the pure joy in having others find my mind and my love for art and color. So there you have it. That's some awesome stuff. It's some deep stuff. And I wanted to get into a little bit of the harmonizing of the figure with the ground. If you could, you could talk about anything with your art that comes up and you want to share. But let's maybe start there.
Right. In a process method, I always blended the figure with the ground so it wasn't so distinct or illustrative as maybe traditional art would be.
Mm-hmm.
Because I wanted two things happening. I wanted the subject to be kind of veiled within the ground so people could make their own interpretation. Because I think if you take that too far, then the story just ends there.
Okay.
And the art is about people seeing part of the story and then having their mind and their experience fill in the rest. That's what makes it really interesting.
Yeah.
And then the other reason is I always wanted to bring a pattern in, because I'm more of a shape painter, although I'm just about to embark into some studies with linear work. I'm more of a spontaneous shape painter and a colorist, so I was always fascinated by, the only way I can describe this is back in the day when you were watching TV, you could get static and it
uh-huh.
The pattern, and sometimes the image would float within that pattern, created almost like a video before there was, you know, the internet and video. So I always wanted
just old enough to remember that. Yeah.
I wanted to take painting to a level where it was felt more like a video than a static two-dimensional copy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I guess that happens within the piece, because I don't use a strong traditional focal point. So your eye bounces around a lot more.
Yeah.
So
that's your art really does capture that. I feel like it's just so dynamic. There's a lot of interplay between all the parts, and your eye just kind of bounces around. But and so there's, you know, a little bit of that, but also at the same time, it's like there's a lot of organic abstract shapes that come up and just look, you know, look like very natural things too. And it's just, and all these statements you make, they're kind of like, yeah, just a interplay between the two different things. And it's really, really fun, fun results.
Right. As right. far as, relating to, the word and inspiration from God, I think it's more of, you know, our life in the Bible is really full of one moment after another, many of which we can't control, even though we try.
Mm-hmm.
And so I try to bring that into the painting. I find that the most fascinating storyline and narrative is just, I mean, how we and sometimes bounce through life, whether we feel times grounded in the word or not grounded at all. There's so many other things, because everybody's got free will, that influence our lives.
Yeah.
Constant struggle we're going through every day. Get sanctified, be sanctified. Right.
We're new and refreshed, but sometimes it feels like by the end of the day or the end of the week or the end of the month, where did all that come from? I didn't ask for that.
Yeah, right.
So...
yeah,
and I find that narrative really fascinating, I guess. So that comes off in the painting.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that painting in that way is kind of like therapeutic for you, or makes this helps you think about those situations in life?
I don't directly think about them. I just have responded to them. Or think about them at other times, and when I paint, it just comes out as a release. Some things that you want to subconsciously get rid of, or even consciously, and I think you want to remember, and it just ends up in the paint as pure spot.
I don't love the idea of planning painting,
because that would be ruining the joy of the painting. That's a big reason why. I don't draw, and I don't.
Okay.
And I don't draw on pre-planned pieces because, and I don't stick. If you look at, and I can send you a visual. You know, I start off and maybe get locked into doing figurative or even abstract or figurative, and I can overpaint that figure 5 or 6 or 7 times, and then I resolve it, and it might not be the best resolve. It could have been done 3 or 4 paintings through, but something about overworking and layering and reworking and rediscovering off key moments within that piece, the edit before, and that's kind of how I work as a painter. I'm not driven to do complete compositions per se, as far as from start to finish. It's, to me, it's all about the exploration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I've heard you talk about the joy of painting, and I think that's such an awesome concept, to look at art not just for what product you can get out of it at the end, but actually, yeah, the joy of creating. And could you say a little more about that? Like, what where's the joy for you in painting? Like, what makes painting joyful for you?
I probably got that because when I was little, my grandmother kind of raised us during the week, because both my parents worked at the time. And so she did a lot of gardening. So I kind of got
planted gardening. We had gardening.
Change and maintain her garden. And so that's kind of where that came from. That, and maybe I used to do a lot of fishing when I was younger, so it's kind of the same thing. You never know what's going to happen. You plan and you plan, okay, and you plan, and then things just unfold. So it has the same response to me as a person as those two events.
Interesting. Yeah, so you're kind of like the surprises that happen as you create, and the things you discover within the painting, that's, it sounds like that's what is really kind of attracts you to painting. And
yeah, because otherwise I think you get bored. I mean, there's people that are really good draftsmen and have really good skills, and the work's beautiful and narrative, and I respect it a lot for that, because that's not,
but I could never sit down and do that, because it would
really take all the life out of the reason why I'm doing it. You know, I can go to work and get into the technical side all day. Why would I want to come home and repeat that?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Would you say, is there a conversation like between you and the Lord as you're painting, or do you ever get, you know, in these kind of discoveries, are they things about the world, or you get a revelation about the
world? Never, rarely when I'm not directly while I'm painting. It's in an indirect way, because one of my key languages that God gave me was the ability to understand color and see color.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's really cool.
It's almost like while I'm doing that,
and that's such a visual and at times tactile, at times design, at times it's very physical as far as the application of the paint. So maybe it's through that whole process, which is how I was created, how I communicate to God at that time. But it's not a prayer.
It's really
just comes in through my head, like I'm having a conversation, almost not with myself, but at times with myself, and at times, you know, not with myself, where I, if I'm really struggling, I might say, you know, God, if you want me to continue painting, then tell me where to go with this. But that would be the right extent. Everything else is very spontaneous.
Okay, yeah, that's
and
great.
And spontaneity doesn't mean that's not a conversation with God, because to me that is a conversation with God, because it pulls me away from the traditional earthly conversation, physical conversation. It puts me in a whole separate realm. With
goes beyond words, kind of.
Right, and it's very personal.
Mm-hmm.
It's really mine.
That would be equivalent to maybe some people having prayer time in their closet and a mat, you know?
Yeah, yeah. That's good. I think a lot of artists can connect with that idea. And it is hard to describe and put into words, but I think so many of us experience that, and it's just like the freedom of creating and being able to make mistakes and come back and, you know, work on it later, and let kind of a story unfold as we create. And I think it's just beautiful the way that you do that. Would you say there's any, so with color, would you say there's any like direct symbolism or meaning in the colors that you choose to use, or is that
no. Again, if I did that, it would become just me, and it would remove the Holy Spirit, because a lot of times when I get like reactions from these, when they're done, whether I realize they're done or not, and more so often they're done and I should just leave them, it's when I don't that I think they lose some of their joy.
We're done, and
I put them up and I see people's reaction. I couldn't predict their reaction. They can only predict their reaction based on who they are and what they are and what they're going through. And that's really where the joy comes in. It's you know, where you might see the work of the Holy Spirit, because when you're doing it, you might see it on your one level.
In public, you see it through many different people's eyes.
who are viewing it for the first time. And that's really interesting to see the reaction and hear the reaction.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you have a memorable story of somebody's reaction to one of your paintings, or somebody seeing something in a painting that you maybe had no idea was there, or something like that?
I was at
the Joy Gallery, which is owned by Levon Shepherd. It's when it was on Genesee Street in Rochester, in his house. Okay. And he was my professor at RIT in the mid-1980s. And so I reconnected with him, and I was just getting back into painting on a regular basis. So I was doing, which was rare for me, some sketch.
Pencil.
We put stuff against the wall because Levon was really big on presenting your work and talking about it, which, you know, I hadn't had a good critique since maybe 15 years before that, when I was in college. So we did that, and in a very casual way, and I can see it, Levon clear as a bell. He's sitting in a chair, and he's facing me, and he's not facing me, he's in between me and the painting. He's looking at the painting, he's looking at me, and he says, I would almost expected him to say, "That's a nice piece," but he said, "You can tell the Holy Spirit's in there because of the quality of that work and the life and joy that it has."
Wow.
So that's
so ever since then, I've always
gone into what I'm doing with that kind of idea, because that certainly wasn't planned. And when I finished the piece, I thought, oh, that's kind of neat. I don't really like to draw, but it's kind of unique. And
was that an abstract piece, or what was
it was a figurative piece.
Okay.
It was a figured piece of a woman sitting in a chair with her foot up, wearing sneakers with shoelaces, loose shoelaces. And even though I didn't render those,
even though it was very
abstract, as far as it wasn't a formal rendering.
Sure.
But you could tell exactly what it was, and the gesture of the pose of the person, you could tell their body language, what mood they were in. And I guess maybe that's what really makes abstract or realistic. That's what, you know, painting or drawing or printmaking, that's what makes a great piece.
Right.
When you're walking down the street and you see someone, you get a, whether you know them or not, you get a read on them, and you have a million thoughts go through your head. And you might get into a conversation with them. Well, it's that initial meet before you have that interaction. That's really what I'm after in my painting, whether it's, again, abstract or figurative. It's that microsecond.
Almost in a
instinctive way, your mind starts going, and, you know, talking about, do I know that person? What's their intentions? You know, maybe what they're wearing, what they're eating, what they're saying to someone else, what environment they're in, what they're with. You know, all those things flash through your head in a millisecond. And that's what I think is great painting, for me anyway.
And that's what, that's a great description of what kind of, you know, the viewer sees when looking at your art. It's like it's a still image, but it's got it's got all these layers of thought and different just possibilities in it, I guess. I just go back a minute to point out to our listeners how powerful that Levon Shepherd, sitting down with a young artist and giving some feedback on the art, and just pointing out that there's there's life and there's an anointing on the art and the creations, and how that influenced you for decades after that. Just to encourage artists to look for those opportunities to also be speaking, you know, those encouraging words over young artists and over each other. So
yeah, that's
before
very
we wrap
important.
Up,
I think we forget. We forget to think of the other person. There's what my mother used to say: be very careful what you say, because it could really wound someone for their lifetime, or could really bless them for a lifetime.
That's right. Yeah. So before we wrap up, AJ, you told me to remind you about a friend from Belarus that you wanted to mention.
Oh yeah, my friend Vladimir. He's always been a fan of my work, and he's recently pre-COVID, and now that COVID's kind of allowed people to travel and be freer, he's in Rochester from Belarus.
Video work with me at a show that I had in
New York City. In Midtown at the Yards, and he set up all my my website. He does a lot with my social media, just to in a marketing sense. But he came by last night, and again, it's a blessing that he loves my work, and I might be able to get it out into an area that I normally wouldn't travel, which would be Moscow.
Yeah,
and. He's really enthusiastic about
the work. If he doesn't like something, he will tell me
right up front. But if he likes something, it fills him with energy and joy. His big takeaway last night was I had done a couple pieces that were just kind of rough, they weren't working, but I showed them to him at the end of kind of like the show and tell of all the art. But before that, I had some abstract and some figurative that I've been working on.
Because, you know, no matter what realm you work in,
I always get this really sense of joy from your pieces, and a lot of sense of warmth, and just happiness. And so you were saying, what effect does my work have on other people, you know, or what are my intentions? And it's again that you just confirmed what we were talking about, what Bon Shepherd had said, and with the whole reason why I got into the painting.
You know, it's nothing direct. I'm not trying to
do a narrative. But I think it's still inspired by the Holy Spirit, and I think God loves variety.
Amen.
You can see it in all the creation. So, I think if you just, you know, the hardest thing for me as a painter when I was starting, and kind of now, is you want to get locked in and be successful, and look at what other people are doing, but just.
And you don't want to get caught
in just being something that you weren't gifted with. So you got to take a lot of risks.
Right.
And at times take a lot of criticism. But if you're going to be true to your art, true to what God's telling you, that's where you got to kind of reside. So it can be
ahead, finish, Tony.
A blessing. I mean, in hindsight, when you look back at
criticism or show didn't go too well, you know, it's always a criticism. It always moves you forward. You just got to push through that and just give it to God, I guess.
Yeah, that's such good stuff. Thanks for sharing all that. Made me think of a C.S. Lewis quote about, he said, try to be original, and 9 times out of 10 you're gonna fail. Try to tell the truth, and 9 times out of 10, you're going to be original in the process. So just what you said about being true to yourself, true to your calling, who the Lord made you. Yeah, thanks so much for sharing all this just really, really good stuff from your experiences from your, you know, your just creative history with the Lord. And yeah, I know it's going to bless a lot of people. So it's an honor to have you on today. And just thanks again for joining us.
Hey, not a problem, George.